Our reading for today is going to start the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who were elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with His blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not now see Him, you believe in Him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who have preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on Him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through Him are believers in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So this letter of Peter was written, estimated to be about mid-60s A.D. So for a little bit of perspective, this might have been only 4 or 5 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. And so there was some need for some strengthening to go on before that event occurs. That would have been an event that caused great fear and turmoil. And I think Peter, in writing this letter, he has this goal in mind of helping them to solidify their faith, reminding them of the precious gift that they've received and who they are and what they are in Christ, and some things they need to do to continue to grow and to be working on themselves in their faith. And so it makes mention of those that are in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So the letter would have been circulated in order to reach all of those. And he says that they are the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That is, they have been those that have responded to the word of God, and they have become part of God's elect as those that would be obedient to Him and express a faith in the message of Christ. And he mentions that along with this was sanctification of the Spirit, obedience to Christ, sprinkling with His blood. And then he gives this intro or greeting, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. So verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, has caused us to be born again. Now, mercy is to not give us what we deserve. He had mercy on us to not bring death upon us, even though we have sinned and they have sinned. And so his great mercy has been expressed, bringing his grace through Jesus Christ. And that allows us to be born again to a living hope, not to go to death, but to be born again to that living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that is an inheritance that is imperishable, it is undefiled, and it is unfading, and it is kept for us. It is preserved for us. You know, everything in this world decays. Everything wears down. Even the greatest structures that have been built show signs of wear from weather. All materials tarnish and decay in one way or another. And maybe they can be brought back. Some can, some can't. You know, metals might be able to have their luster restored, but many things break down into smaller portions. And so we see that decay around us. And he says, this inheritance that you have, it's not like that. It's not like anything on this earth. It is imperishable, and it's not possible to be defiled, and it's not possible for it to fade. And this is because of God's power. Okay? By God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And so in this, you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. So there have been some persecutions that have come upon them that they have a need to be reminded. It hasn't been that long since we went through the book of Hebrews, where they were enduring persecution. They were thinking about going back to Judaism. They needed to be reminded of how important it was for them to remain faithful and to not give up that which they had received in Jesus Christ. Well, Peter is expressing a similar message here. You may be grieved by various trials, but understand that you rejoice despite that, because that inheritance is there for you. And that the tested genuineness of your faith, that is, that they go through these trials, they don't give up their faith. That faith is more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire also, just as their faith is tested, that it may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That is, when we're found faithful on that day of judgment. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully. They wanted to know about the things that they were prophesying about. They wanted to know when it was going to happen, and I'm sure they longed to see it happen, even though it was not to be. In verse 11, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. So they were given that knowledge and that glimpse that made them desire such things. And those are things that we under Christ are experiencing, even though we still look forward to more that is out there over that horizon. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, speaking of those in Christ, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you, that good news of Jesus Christ, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look, things that are so special than even heavenly beings desire to see into that. Verse 13, therefore, based on all of this, prepare your minds for action. Now, you might be reading from a version that says, girding up the loins of your mind. The idea of girding up is, you know, to take that robe that they would have worn at the time and pull it up and tie it up so that your legs would be free to move and you'd be ready to fight or run or whatever you needed to do. And so get ready. Being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be ready and be faithful, is what he's saying. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. 14, don't fall back into those trappings of sin. Push forward to the way of righteousness. As he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. God is holy. He is perfect. There is no sin with God. He cannot lie, cannot sin. And as we are being transformed into the image of Christ, which is God himself as well, then we are being changed into that holiness. And so we need to live a life of holiness, not destitution in sin, but holiness and righteousness in Christ. So we are to be holy because he is holy, and we desire to be like him, and we have to be like him in order to be found faithful and to be welcomed into heaven. And of course, Christ and his blood makes up for our inadequacies and our weaknesses, though we try not to sin. Verse 17, if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, keep that in mind, according to each one's deeds, then conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. So knowing how God will judge, this is how you're to do. You conduct yourselves with fear throughout this exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways, unproductive ways, a ransom price that is so high that it doesn't matter how much silver or gold or precious gems or anything you could put together, it could not ransom your soul. You needed the blood of Christ. That's how valuable the blood of Christ is. And he's describing this because despite their going through these various trials, they needed to understand how precious this gift through Jesus Christ really is. That of a lamb without spot or blemish, but much greater than any animal, much greater than any real lamb. It is the Lamb of God. God dwelling bodily on this earth, living a sinless life, paying a price for sin that he did not owe, paying the price that you and I owe. And so he said he was foreknown before the foundation of the world. That is that God had this plan from the beginning of how man could be ransomed so that he could come to heaven with him, those that would be faithful, those that would seek him out. He was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. And we've talked about the necessity of the resurrection and the plan of salvation as a whole, so I won't go into that now, but you might go back to looking at our readings through Corinthians if you need a reminder on those things. But he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, there's our obedience again. So verse 17, you be judged according to each one's deeds. Verse 22, you've purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, not a work, but a submission and taking advantage of the covenant that is offered through Jesus Christ. So your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly. Love being central to the gospel of Jesus. Our love for God, our love for each other, Jesus' love for us in dying for us, his love for the plan of God, and God's love for us to send him. Love is central to the gospel. And he says this being born again, it is not of a perishable seed, again referring to things of this earth, but imperishable through the living and abiding word of God, that perfection, that word of God, a word that came to them not because of man's imagination and not because of some story that is told, but it is truly producing faith because it is solid. And we know that Jesus was resurrected. At the time this was written, you still had witnesses that were there of that resurrection, and then you had those that passed that on. There was proof. It is not something that we believe in without any substance whatsoever. And so when we think about this imperishable seed that allowed us to be born again through the living and abiding word of God, he makes this point in verse 24, all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. Grass withers, flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Again, everything in this world decays. It lives, it grows, it dies, it decays, and then more lives and more grows and more dies and decays, and it's this process that this world goes through. But the word of God, it doesn't do that. The word of God is constant. The word of God is sure and true, and there's no doubting it, and there's no changing it. And this word that has come from the Lord is the good news that was preached to them. It is what they believed in. It's what they needed to keep their faith in. And so that's a good place for us to stop for today and realize that we need to have confidence in the word of God. We need to remain steadfast even in the face of trials, for we do not want to give up that truly incredible inheritance that we have received. So please come back and we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 2 at our next reading. And please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.